Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Monday, July 8th, 2013. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are really glad to be here today. Today we have a very, very special guest with us. I am a fan of the reality show Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I have to admit that I enjoy the show a great deal. Real Housewives of Atlanta happens to be the hottest show on the Bravo network, and I believe they're entering their seventh season. And joining us today is Peter Thomas. Peter Thomas is the husband of Cynthia Bailey Thomas. Now, to me, he seems like a mystery. However, once you do further introspection and find out more about him, you realize that this is a very intelligent, well-accomplished gentleman in the hospitality industry as well as the entertainment industry. And the things that he's done that we really don't all really know about will astound you and amaze you. And I can understand why Cynthia Bailey Thomas chose him. And I would like to take the opportunity now to dispense with all of this and getting to know more about Mr. Peter Thomas. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine, honey. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have to say that I am thoroughly impressed with you and your accomplishments. You are an amazing businessman. I mean, the kind of stuff that you've done, that really just kind of like gets me all excited, to be honest. And
yeah, that's nice to know that I get excited. I'm excited just knowing that.
We do share something in common. You are from Brooklyn, originally from Jamaica, but you were raised in Brooklyn, and I'm a native of Brooklyn as well.
Brooklyn.
Yes, Brooklyn in the house, okay? So,
stand up, Brooklyn, stand up.
yes. Now, you are currently one of the cast members on the reality show Real Housewives of Atlanta. And
Actually, I'm not even a cast member on the reality show The Atlanta Housewives. You know, I am the supporting spouse of
really?
A cast member on the show. Okay, the reason why we don't call ourselves the guys, myself, Apollo, Greg, and newly Todd, and probably Cordell, I don't know what's going on with those people. But the reason why, you know, we don't call ourselves cast members, because they actually don't pay us. You know, we're just there to support our spouse.
Oh, that's interesting, because you each have such a prominent role in the show, and you kind of pull a lot of things together that probably wouldn't happen if you were not there.
Yeah, that's because I'm trying to keep my wife employed. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of our job, is to make sure that we look out for our spouse, you know?
I get it. Thoroughly get it. And you're entering into your seventh season now?
Actually, the show's going into its sixth season.
It's sixth season.
And we actually been on it going on four seasons.
Okay.
We just started taping last week, yeah.
Oh, great. That's good to know, because I'm a fan of the show, and I watch it. And when I can't watch it, I on-demand it, so I can keep up with what's going on.
Well, you know, unlike other shows that comes across extremely contrived, in my opinion, that's my opinion, you know, what Cynthia and I try to bring to the table this particular vehicle is to be honest as possible, you know what I'm saying? Try not to show them every last inch of our pigment, but at the same time, you know, we know what we signed on for. It's a reality-based show, So we're just going to give the public the reality that we could live with. You know, we don't want to look back at this thing when it's in forever rerun and say, why the hell did we do that? You know what I'm saying? Our first season was like that. I mean, our first season was chaotic. You know, we got on and we said, you know what, I'm not having a good time. And so, therefore, when the camera's in front of me, I can't act like if I'm having a good time because I'm not. And if they want my reality, this is what it is. You know, and to be honest with you, the first two seasons of me being on the show, probably three seasons, you know, most people was questioning my wife every time they see her. Why are you with that guy? He's so arrogant, ignorant, and somewhat, you know, make it seem like he's like an Ike Turner type character. Is he beating you? People used to ask me, is he beating you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was crazy. And that's just because they saw a black man as black as my ass is. You know, they saw a black man on reality TV for the first time that was being a black man. You know what I'm saying? I was going through some hard time. I was losing my business. And, you know, I was somewhat depressed about it because, you know, I was turning 50 years old that year, you know? And what are you going to do when you lose your $700,000 investment at 50? It's not like if I could bounce back like, you know, some spring chicken or think that I have the ability to do so. You know what I'm saying? It was very difficult. I had to get creative. You know, I'm not 25, 24 years old on the street flapper shit anymore. You know what I'm saying? I actually got five kids, a wife, and a stepdaughter. There's a lot of people. My mother and father is in their 70s. That there's a lot of people that really concerned about what's going on with me because, you know, without me, then they don't really have anyone to really, you know, lean on. I'm the lean on guy in my family. You know what I'm saying? So saying that, it was very depressing. And what America saw was exactly what was happening in my life.
And that was good because that was one of the reasons why I was attracted to the show more, because of the fact that you were being true to yourself. And I gathered, I didn't say you were like an Ike Turner kind of person. I just thought you were highly opinionated and very confident. And you always look good.
Old. Yeah, I'm too. Well, I'm glad about the look good point. You know, I try to always put myself together well. You know, again, because you don't really want, you know what, to be honest with you, none of that is for the camera. I'm going to be honest with you, man. You know what I'm saying? If people that know me, and there's a lot of people that grew up with me in the music industry and, you know, just in the entertainment industry, period, that knows me. And when they see me, they say, oh, that's Peter. You know what I'm saying? I'm not putting on some clothes that I'm not used to wearing. You know, that's my clothes. You know, there's no stylist dressing Peter Thomas. I'm dressing myself with my money. You know, so, you know, regardless if I'm on the show or not, that's what I would look like if I go to an event like that. That's, you know, I'm always trying to make sure I keep myself extremely clean and well-groomed at all times. You know, so, I mean, again, you know, when people see what they saw, and they need to know that, When the cameras show up at our house, the reason why they show up is because, first, they find you to be interested. Second, they find you to have a story. And third, they think that you would be able to convey that story just by them covering your reality or whatever it is. They don't show up with a script. They don't show up with a producer and tell you what to do. You know what I'm saying? At least not on our show. I can't speak for all shows, but I know on our show they don't do that. And if they have to do that for you, that's when you lose your job. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, there's advertisers that buy, you know, spots around in certain demographics and certain lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? You can't be a fraud when it comes to certain things, because then they'll hurt your business and your brand across the board. Yeah. And I'm gonna keep it real. The Bravo show that I'm on, everyone, if you don't have a storyline and they don't find you interesting, they usually pass and go to the next person. And that's how it is. And if you don't keep moving, then you're going to get run over. These people are no joke. You know what I'm saying? They have no problem passing you to the side and said, you know what, we're not going to make no money with that person over there or that couple over there. You know, we need to find somebody more intriguing and more interesting that our viewers is going to tune into. And that's why we're number one, not just on the, in the franchise of The Housewife. We're number one across the board on the network. We can win no period on Bravo.
Yes, 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 indeed. And the other interesting thing that I find by when I do watch the show and I watch the different characters and how they interact with one another, I've noticed that you distance yourself from certain situations, and that's really interesting to see as well, because that shows that you, if that's your persona, that you have certain standards that you are not going to compromise.
Well, I tell you something. We shot today, okay? And for a long time, we told them that there are certain things that we just won't do. I mean, you can't, you know, like, you're paying us to do this job because you find us to be interesting, but at the same time, when I say us, my wife, when it comes to the pay part. But at the same time, you know, you're not gonna, my wife is never going to go on any reality TV show or any show unless it's scripted, okay, and she's reading a part, and if the part, you know, asks for her to say certain curse words and she really wants that part, then she'll do it. But if you're going to cover her real life, you're never going to get that out of her. You're never going to hear her saying the B word or the H word or any of those, because that's not how she talked. And you can't put her in a situation where she's going to compromise that about herself. Because Cynthia Bailey, before the Atlanta Housewife, was Cynthia Bailey for 25 years, which is probably the top two or three print model in the United States, African-American. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of little girls who want to come up in that industry actually look for her for tutelage, and she's not gonna compromise herself. You know, she have a 13-year-old daughter, and that's not what she's trying to. You know, she's not trying to teach her that you know, you got to do whatever it is to make a living. You know what I'm saying? No, you got to find your lane and stick with it. And if people want you to go outside of your lane, if that's not your character, then there's not a price that they could pay you to do so. Me, on the other hand, I don't give a F. That is not my lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to say whatever it is. You piss me off enough, you're going to get cussed out in the worst of ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's just how it is. You know, my wife would try to monitor everything I do for the fact that she thinks it's going to pass over. But funny enough, I was at a Steve Harvey thing, and Chris Rock's wife went up there, and she was eloquent, and she's a doctor, and she just was graceful as possible. And then immediately Chris came up there to do something, and all you hear was mother, this, mother, that, and the whole audience just stopped and looking like, wait, those two people belong together? You know? But what they don't realize is that that's her brand, and that's his brand. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not the miles in between them. What interests them is so many other things. And she probably actually liked that about the cat, that he has a foul-ass mouth. You know,
well, he keeps it real.
Yeah, he keeps it 100. He's going to tell you what it is. And that's what, you know, to us, we from, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, and I'm a 60s baby, and I'm telling you something. Like, sometimes when you put that MF on it, it really tells the other person exactly how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's like yelling, but not yelling.
Exactly. You know, I can say it with the best of them. You know what I'm saying? When it roll off my tongue, you know exactly how I feel.
Yes. Now, you have transitioned. You have had a lot of lives throughout your time on the planet so far. And you have been in the entertainment industry, and you have been the pioneer for so many different things. Now, that takes a lot of creative ingenuity. Where does it come from?
Well, you know, I'm 100% Jamaican, so we usually have 7 jobs going on at one time. You know what I'm saying? And we're always going to try to get in where we fit in, you know what I'm saying? And if they don't have a space for us, then we try to create one. You know, but we will not be denied. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the way it is. You know, like when I was a club owner, because, you know, I like promoting concerts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a club owner back in the mid-80s in Miami. And, you know, I wanted to get into the music industry. But when I was living in Brooklyn, I didn't know Russell, and I didn't know Puff. I didn't know any of those guys. Matter of fact, when I was out there, Puff was probably like 14, 15 years old. He wasn't even thinking about doing it yet, but Russell and him was doing it. So when I got down to Miami and Luther Campbell was down there and he was doing bass music, I never really heard bass music until I got there. But Luke wasn't trying to bring hip-hop there, and I wanted to do parties, and I know there's a lot of transplant that was living in South Florida, and it wasn't really into bass. It was more into Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul, you know, and Jungle Brothers and groups like that. You know, so I started promoting those type of bands, and then, you know, like people in New York take notice that, hey, look, who's the guy who's buying up all these groups down in South Florida? And I was making a killing of it because those kids from up top, they wasn't checking for Two Life Crew. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They liked them, but that wasn't their thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I kind of backdoored the situation with Russell and them. You know, I tried to get through the front door in New York. They wouldn't let me in, so I went to South Florida, and I got through the back door. And then when I was, you know, I was in Atlanta, I was at Jack the Rapper, the music convention, just to keep my connection going. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and it seems like they were catering more to Jed Gibson's probably, I think he died, but if he was alive, he probably would be in his mid or late 80s. You know what I'm saying? So those guys came from an era with the Byron Guardian and people like the Temptations and, mm-hmm. you know, groups like that. And my homeboy, Michael Bivins, was doing, you know, a tent down the street from Jack the Rapper. It wasn't in the main building. And that was for, ABC. You know what I'm saying? You know, another bad creation. You know,
yes.
Remember those little...
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I was looking at the situation. I said, damn, somebody needs to create a convention, you know, or a platform for these kind of kids. You know, because surely there wasn't one back then. There was, like, BRE. There was the Action Network. There was so many of them. I mean, Impact, so many. But none of them was really catering to kids, to young people. And at the same time, I wanted to educate young people, because to me, like in the early 90s, these cats wanted to get in the business, but they didn't understood the business of the business. You know what I'm saying? So ownership mm-hmm. to me is like, you write your lyrics, you should own them. You shouldn't sell them. You know, you should license them, but you shouldn't sell them. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to go out there and educate people, all these cats in the hip-hop industry, you know, how to own your own, you know, you got to own your own publishing. Most of them didn't even know what publishing was. They just wanted to get on real bad, and if somebody offered them $100,000, they've never seen that cash in their life, so of course they're going to jump on it. So I used to say, don't jump so fast. You can still get the $100,000 and own your lyrics. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we started How Can I Be Down Music Convention. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That was strictly for the hip-hop community, you know, and Russell embraced it. They liked the idea. Lior Cohen embraced it. He's the one who gave me the opportunity to do it, and it blew up. So it was just me just paying attention. My eyes are always wide open. You know what I'm saying? Every block that I pass on in America, I'm looking around to see what would work here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Is there a dry cleaner? You know what I'm saying? Is there a press and fold? You know, every neighborhood I go into, I'm looking to see what would work. You know, same thing Walmart, and they consume all the little guys and just take over. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Now, okay, with that particular kind of mindset, now, as you mentioned earlier, you said that, you know, the nightclub business is complex, and you are very observant and keen, and when you have a nightclub or a tapas lounge like what you have, Bar One, that's called a luxury good. How do you sell that? You must, you know, you have to consider exclusivity, demographics, concepts, sound, privacy concerns. How do you do it and make it so successful?
You have to consider all of those things. You just can't build something and think that randomly people are going to show up. You have to build it with someone in mind. You know what I'm saying? My guys in New York, two of my best friends, they created a lifestyle brand called Live Magazine. Keith Clinsdale and Len Burnett. Keith is now getting ready to be the CEO for Revolt. What is it? Revolt? which is our Puff New Company, which is a new music video company that's rolling out next month, I believe. All right, and those guys have vision, you know what I'm saying? They understand their community, and they know that if they create a niche for their community, a lifestyle piece for their community, blue collar, white collar, those people are going to go to it for information because they need to know what's going on, not just in your neighborhood, but across the country. You know, and then they created another piece called Uptown Magazine. Uptown Magazine is a lifestyle brand for African Americans who's making probably $35,000 and above. You know, and I was on a flight around 15 years or so. I was going from New York to L.A., and I sat beside a guy, and the guy was really stylish. And I'm, like, looking at him. I'm like, damn, I want to know what this guy do. So, you know, after a while, I started talking to him. He was a white dude. And I said, so, Money, you're just fresh from top to bottom. What is it you're doing? What's your name? You know, and he told me his name was Randy Gerber, and immediately I knew the name because mm-hmm. I was in the club business. This guy owned all the whiskey bars in the country, and it's a lifestyle piece. And he told me that he never do a bar over 3,000 square foot because it's manageable. He doesn't have to be there to know what's going on, and he makes sure that only one person do all the ordering and blah, blah, blah. And that's the philosophy behind Bar One. Because in our community, we don't have a lifestyle brand across the board where you go from city to city, and you know that that's what this brand is, and it caters to a particular sector of our community that want to be around like-minded people. And that's what Bar One Tapas Lounge is. You know, we're getting ready to open up in Charlotte, a couple of locations within the next 2 months, and you know, by spring of next year, we're going to be in D.C. And, you know, to be honest with you, with this platform that we have, it's a great avenue for me to, that's what I'm complaining about getting paid on Bravo, because it's a great avenue for me to showcase these things and get them out there to a massive, you know, 6 million people watch the show every Sunday it comes on, you know, first, second, and third run. So I'm not going to complain. They treat my wife well, and, you know, they give us an opportunity to say what we're doing, you know, and I'm using that brand to, you know, to drive this vehicle that I'm in right now, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just to let my community know, hey, you could go to Whiskey Bar or you could go to Bar One. Bar One is more tailored for you. When you go through the doors at Bar One, you're going to hear from neo-soul, okay, to soul music, to, you know, classic hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? And it's for you. The food is for you. The food is seasoned for you, with you in mind, you know what I'm saying? And that's what this brand is all about, you know what I'm saying? And people, when you build something and you build it of a certain caliber and, you know, aesthetically, you're pleasing them because this is 2013, so it can't look like it's 1980. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you do it right, then they're gonna fall in love with it, and they're gonna come in. And the key is to make sure that you have the right people working for you, because you can't do anything by yourself. You need a great support and staff, and that everybody buy into your philosophy, and everyone wants to be successful. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying. That's what I'm offering right now. That's what I'm doing. If there's anybody out there listening, I'm actually looking for people, and I'm looking for investors because I want to take this brand across the country. To be honest with you, I was kicking it with Denzel Washington yesterday. He was in my bar last night, and he was like, yo, Peter, you really need to do this in L.A. because north of Wilshire in L.A., we don't have nothing like this. And that's the entertainment capital of the world. I'm like, wow. You know what I'm
really?
Saying? I gotta get... Exactly. There's nothing. He's right. I'm out there. I just came from out there from last week. And Dwayne Martin owned a joint on the other side of the hill in Studio City, and it's beautiful. I love it. But why consistently we can't get together and do a brand that works across the state? You could go from all the there's probably around 16 or 20 top cities in this country, and every time you go there, you could find a Bar One. And you know what you're getting. You know what the food is like. You know what the cocktails are like. You know what the atmosphere is like. You know you're going to run into people like yourself, like-minded people, and the network is going to be strong. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're trying to build.
I also noticed that you have a list of requirements. If you want to enter your establishment, I was reading them, and I see nothing wrong with it. I think that's all good. And that just goes into in line with you being a no-nonsense character, and this is it. If you want to come in your establishment, these are the rules and guidelines, and I like that.
You have to do that, because if you don't, you know, we as a community, sometimes we adapt the whole philosophy of the whole crab in the barrel syndrome. And if you don't put rules in place, then these cats are going to come in. First of all, you know, like, I don't want to really hang out anywhere where my son is hanging out. That's not happening. So if you're, like, 22 years old and you don't carry yourself like a 35-year-old dude, then we don't want you. You need to go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? This place is for 28 and older. You know what I'm saying? This place is for people who's making moves, and they want to be around people that's making moves also. So when you come in, you hang out at my bar, you're gonna meet a doctor, a lawyer, you're gonna meet a fireman, you're gonna meet a police officer, you're gonna civil engineer, you're gonna meet somebody in the entertainment business, in music or theater or film, you're gonna meet someone. Okay, something's gonna happen. You're gonna walk out of there happy. It's not just coming to hook up with a girl or with a guy. You're gonna meet an intelligent person that you could actually have a conversation with, and you could grow. You know, so whenever you put together an establishment like that, you have to have rules and regulations in place. If not, certain type of people are just not going to come, because they're going to think that it's not for them. You know what I'm saying? And it isn't. You know, we want to make sure that when we put our rules out there, they know what we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? When you walk into a Mercedes dealership, you know what you're dealing with, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You know. You're not gonna find a Chevy Impala in the Mercedes dealership, because that's not what it is. You know, if you're looking for that, then you need to go to a Chevy dealership. You could get that over there. A Mercedes is a luxury brand, and if you don't earn certain type of money, police don't walk into our building, and we're good with that. Well, we're the same over here. You know, if you can't conduct yourself a certain way and be of a certain lifestyle and likeness to the people that we're catering to, then you shouldn't come to our joint. Go to something that's more catered to you. That's what we're about.
That's excellent. That's good also, because of the fact that keeps the concerns that I mentioned earlier, it keeps it in place, because you have to be concerned about your consumer, because you want your consumer to be content and be a repeat customer, so to speak, and tell some friends and so on.
Exactly. And we get a lot of that. Our biggest problem at Bar One here in Atlanta is that at any given night you walk through the door, the girl's going to outnumber the guy 7-1. It's a major problem for us.
Okay. But I thought that's the case in Atlanta anyway.
Yeah, it is. And it's expressed every night here at our venue. You know what I'm saying? So all the guys that's out there that got your stuff together, you need to walk to our door, brother, because there's some serious ladies in the bar, okay? They drive their own car, they pay their own note, okay, and they make that kind of bank.
Okay, I hope they're listening. Now, you have also got a whole bunch of things going on, and you and your wife have penned a book called Carry On Baggage. Our nonstop flight. Now, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, carry-on baggage is like, you know, Cynthia and I got together shortly after she hit 40, and I was 45, going on 46. And, you know, she had a beautiful Noelle, her daughter with Leon, and, you know, that's her world right there, you know? And then I got, you know, I'm, you know, like, I wanted to fall in love, have 7 kids and grow old with my kids and my wife. But it didn't really work out that way for me, you know. So I have 5 kids with 4 different ladies and, you know, beautiful, beautiful kids. I got to make sure that, you know, I'm a responsible dude. So I got to make sure I'm active in their life at all times. You know, I do the best that I can. Sometimes I got to be in L.A., New York, and Miami every 6 weeks, because that's where my kids live. So every 6 weeks, I got to make enough money that I could get on a plane and travel and go be with them, you know, because that's where they're at. So saying that, you know, like Cynthia and I, after year one, year two, year three, being married, we said, you know what, there's a lot of people like us that get together late in life that have to compromise that have to figure, find a way to work it out if they really, truly want to be together, you know what I'm saying, in love, in business, and move forward, you know, to better their situation and, you know, their offspring situation, you know, and we decided to write a book about it, you know. So Carry On Baggage is about how do you come together, because, you know, like, how do you come together and deal with so many different hurdles that you have to clear in order to, you know, even finish the race or even stay in the race, because we're still in the race. You know what I'm saying? It's a story that needs to be told. I never really see it from that perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So from an African-American perspective, where we talk about, you know, dealing with all of those things, and you know, you got to put your big boy pants on. I do, and she does, you know, to afford to work. Sometimes we got to swallow our pride, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, we got to compromise, you know, if we care about each other that much that we want it to work. You know, if not, it'll just be another failed situation. There's too many single people out there because they can't compromise or they can't work it out.
I understand that. And the interesting thing about it is that, well, I'm not married, and I'm not 40 either. But I do understand.
You didn't sound either. You didn't
huh?
sound either to me. I'm not shocked because you didn't sound either to me.
No, I'm right along with you, okay? So it's interesting because after you reach a certain age, you have certain things on your mind that you don't have on your mind when you're in your 20s and 30s. And when you come together with another individual who's of that same age, you both are, it's like a magnet, two magnets coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they're rolling together, but they're not really connecting. And it's how you break that barrier. I guess this is what your book is saying, how you break that barrier so that you can come together. And
yeah.
I think this is great. This is good information because there are no guidebooks that are really good out there that can help people understand how to maneuver all this stuff.
No, you know, there's so many red flags that if we're people of small mind that we would have never got together. Like one, when I opened my mouth, she said, "So how many kids you got?" And I said, "I have 5." Immediately a woman said, "Damn, you got 5 kids? Oh, my God. Why you not with their mother anymore? Why you not with their mother anymore?" Figuring that you have 5 for 1. And then a guy like me would say, "No, I have 5 kids with 4 different ladies." Red flag, you know. Oh, most chicks would say, "I don't want nothing to do with this dude. The only thing this guy could give me is good sex and keep it moving. That's if he has good sex in him." You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
So that's a red flag right there, and it takes a strong woman to keep going and not stop at that stop sign and do a U-turn, okay? Or when I said to her, you and you and the father for your child, you guys are not together, obviously, because you're out here and you're courting others, but how's that relationship? And she said to be honest with you, Peter, you know, if you and I are going to have any type of relationship, I would love for you to sit down with him because you're going to be around his daughter, and he's very particular about men who's around his daughter. He wants to make sure that I'm making good choices, not just for myself, but for his kid. You know, as a dude, I would say, get the out of here. I'm not doing that. But you know what I'm saying? But because she was so big and so upfront with it and so strong about how she was saying it, I'm like, wow. That's new.
She was real and honest with you, so.
Yes. I would love to sit down with Money and see what that's about. And I'm at the same time, I'm looking at him like, how did you let this one get away? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, but I mean, yeah. There's so many things, you know, so many red flags that come up where, you know, like they could stop and turn around and like, just nobody's perfect, man. So even the first year of the show when I got together and I did a scene, I think we did a scene going to a steeplechase with Phaedra Parks, and she said she wants a clean man. And I was so offended that she said that, you know, because to me that was so ignorant for her to say that. you know what I'm saying, being an attorney, being an older black woman, being known that, black men are probably in society, a lot of people see us as the bottom of the pole, you know what I'm saying? And you're usually guilty until proven innocent, you know what I'm saying? So we always fighting to say who we are and stand up and be that person, you know what I'm saying? That's why I was so glad when Barack won, because then that tells a whole generation of us that that could happen. When we thought, the generation before thought it was impossible for it to happen. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that it's a numbers game and we just, you know, black men is probably what? Out of 52 million African-American in this country, black men is probably around 20 million. You know what I'm saying? So saying that, you know, it's not too many of us out of 310 million people in this country. You know, so it's a numbers game and we always fighting against it. So, you know, for me to stand up and be the way I am in the show, I don't want to compromise who I am, because I'm not just compromising myself. I'll be hurting a lot of black men in this country if I act a certain way, be a certain way. Dudes come up to me all the time and like, thank you for being who you are, man. You know what I'm saying? We have never seen anyone like your personality on the tube before. We're so grateful for that. I feel it's a major responsibility. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm all over the place, but my mind is traveling so fast right now. It's crazy.
That's okay, and it's all right, because we're getting to know you, because we don't get this opportunity when we see you on the show. And there's a much deeper person than we ever imagined, and a very brilliant person as well, too. So I'm loving it. Keep on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you know, it's really interesting, because initially when you first started, what we saw, because it's based on what we saw in your relationship, everyone questioned, you know, the two of you being together. And as time evolved, we saw what a wonderful nurturing relationship that you two have together and how supportive you are of each other. And you know, the thing that really comes to mind for me is, how do you maintain such a wonderful relationship with your wife and children and family and run multiple empires? I mean, you have a few things, both of you have a few things going on that requires a lot of detail, attention, and time. How do you manage that and still manage to keep everything tight at home?
I'll tell you something. You know, you have to, one of the talents that you have to develop when you're a business person, you have to be able to know how to find other people that could help you win around you, you know, because if you don't have that, then you're not going to win, period. You know, so, and that's a major task right there. Matter of fact, that's 50% of it, because if you have an idea, but you need more than you to execute that idea, so you got to go out and find the right type of people to be on your team. You know what I'm saying? So saying that, that's a major part of it. And then, you know, you got to know how to facilitate. You have to know how to make things happen, you know. And her, she's so, Cynthia is the type of girl that you can't tell her that she can't do something, because then she's just going to break her back to prove you wrong, you know what I'm saying? And you only got to show her once, and you only got to tell her once, you know what I'm saying? And she'll take it from there. And she actually have better qualities than I do. You know what I'm saying? She's not as much of a risk taker as I am, so that kind of balances out my whole situation. You know what I'm saying? She don't take every dime she haven't put it into something, because she's responsible, so she have to make sure there's something to fall back on. And me growing up in Brooklyn, I usually put it all in there, baby. Let it ride.
You know what I'm
saying? But after a while, after you're getting older, you can't do that anymore, because you don't get those second opportunities when you get older. The young guys get that. The older cats is not getting that. You know what I'm saying? So you got to adjust. You can't make it all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, like my father used to tell me, you know, if you earn a dollar, you should save 50% of it, invest 25% of it, and play with 25% of it to make sure you have fun. And he's right. He's absolutely right. I used to look at him like, you're bugging. But now, you know, I'm looking back and said, those are some of that words. You know what I'm saying? I should have listened from 20 years ago when he was telling me that. 25 years ago, I have way more than I have now.
But you do have a lot, and you've been blessed tremendously, you know, with, I mean, tons of opportunities. Some of the things that you've put in place are legacy events that will go on for a long time. So you are quite wealthy. If you look at it from a different perspective, you are wealthy 10 times over.
Well, you know, I would like to think so. If not, I'd be depressed as hell. I'd be depressed if I didn't feel that way about myself. I'd be depressed all the time. I'd be looking at other people that's not as smart as me. They got way more money in the bank. I'm like, damn, I can't stand them. You know what I'm saying?
When is the book going to be released? It's being released this month. Is it already on the bookshelf?
Yep. No, by the end of this month, it will be on the bookshelf.
Okay, and it's going to be distributed by Griffin Scott Press?
Yeah, and she gets in everywhere. She's another hustler. That's why I'm rolling with her.
Okay.
Intelligent young black female that's doing it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we create a partnership to put it out there and do our thing. You know, like we're doing it the Cash Money way. You know what I'm saying? we're not going to the major publishing house and, you know, ask them for the $300,000-$400,000 advance and then get. Then
maybe
you have to surrender.
And
then you got to surrender towards everything they do and not do. You know what I'm saying? No, I'd rather go out and grind, and then I could keep more. You know what I'm saying? And you know, again, like I said, around 6 million people any given Sunday night watch the show. And if I could get 10% of them to buy the book, I'm good. You know, my kids will be all right. I'll know I could pay for their education. You know what I'm saying? And that's my goal. That's my goal right there, to make sure that they're all good. You know, and I could help another person that's trying to help themselves. That's all I want to do, is to be able to help somebody that's trying to help themselves.
And that's a beautiful thing. It definitely is. Now, my other question to you is, I've been reading in some of the trades that you got another venture coming soon.
Oh, the Unscripted Reality Award.
Yes. And
yeah, I'm excited about that. That's, to me, that's How Can I Be Down all over again. You know what I'm saying? To me, the reality thing is not going away. You know what I'm saying?
It's not.
You have so many different television channels out there, cable channels out there. You have Apple TV. You have this TV, that TV. And, you know, the cable companies rule the world right now. You know, cable companies rule the world. Okay? They own so many different entities that we all need on a day-to-day basis. You know, so saying that, you know, I know that the reality thing is definitely, without a doubt, not going away. And I don't understand why one of these major outlets didn't start a major reality award show. They don't really see us. They act like if we don't exist in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? They don't think Love and Hip Hop. They don't think nothing of it. You know what I'm saying? I was impressed, by the way, that Denzel Washington actually know who Stevie J and Jocelyn was. I was cracking up about that yesterday. You know what I'm saying? That he actually, this man has 2 Oscars, and on his downtime, he's watching Stevie. That tripped me out. You know, I can't wait to tell Stevie that Denzel Washington actually know your name, honey. Be a little bit more responsible. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that it's not going away. So, you know, me being on a reality show and me being the Jamaican Brooklyn boy that I am, I'm thinking, damn, how can I make 50 cents out of this thing? And then it comes to me, I'm like, yo, why don't I just do my reality award show? You know what I'm saying? I did one before, executive producer Source Awards back in 99 and 2000. You know what I'm saying? So I had, you know, I was an EP. I was an executive producer. I put that together back in the days with Dave Mays and Benzino. You know what I'm saying? So I said to myself, hey, look, I'm going to do this. Because here in Atlanta alone, there's around 20 different reality shows, and they're the one that's popping. You know what I'm saying? So I know the stars to let me put this together. And I put it out there in the universe, and man, people are tripping. They're coming at me in all type of directions. You know what I'm saying? They're like, they're coming at me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody like, oh my God, brilliant, brilliant. I'm like, really? I'm the only smart one in the room? Are you kidding me? Everybody that's on a reality show should have came up with that idea. To me, I came up with it, and I had to act on it so fast because I didn't want nobody to beat me to the punch. You know
that's true, but you have to understand that you are looking at the forest with the trees in it. They're just looking at one particular tree. So everyone's riding a particular wave, and they're not thinking beyond that. And you're a visionary, so you're thinking beyond that.
I'm still in the ocean, baby. Mm-hmm. I'm still in the ocean.
And that's a good thing, because that means that you will be relevant way beyond 10, 15, 20 years from now. So, I mean, I look at what you've done so far and how it has left a lasting legacy, and look at what you're going to do going forward.
Yeah, I'm always thinking how I could put my people down. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what can next that I could put somebody down and we could build something great, you know? And that's what it's all about. And I'll tell you something, I'm inspired, okay, by Russell Simmons. I'm inspired by Sean Combs. I'm inspired by Mr. Carter. You understand what I'm saying? These are cats that came up in the industry. And, you know, I'm going to give you a funny story. I was at Russell House over the 4th of July weekend. And, you know, in one part of his house, he has a wall of trophies, cabinet of trophies. All the crystal trophies is on one wall. I'm like, you know, you could imagine how many he has, right? Because he's the godfather of hip-hop culture. Okay, but I did How Can I Be Down back in 93. And the second year of doing it, in 94, Russell was one of the cats who got a Willie Awards. We call it the Big Willie Awards at the How Can I Be Down Music Convention. Okay, so now I'm in his house, and I'm looking through the cabinet, and I'm looking at all of these awards, and I'm like, wow, wow, wow. And then I ran across my award. I ran outside, I was telling everybody, oh, my God, he got How Can I Be Down Awards in his trophy case. I was so blown away by that. It effed me up, man. I'm telling you, I went outside, I'm like, that's why I love you. That's why I love you. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He's getting ready to go do yoga. I said, you got your How Can I Be Down trophy I gave you in 94. And they said, well, I did earn it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, that was big. You know, and I was looking at a magazine once with Dr. Dre and his wife and I think his kid on the cover. And he has his Grammys and his American Music Awards, and he had all of these accolades in the background. And then he had my How Can I Be Down, dude. I'm like, I can't stop. I can't stop. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm honoring these people in my community that's doing their thing, you know. And that was about anybody that continued success on one level or another over a 10-year period. You just can't get a Willie Award at How Can I Be Down unless you're that dude. We don't celebrate overnight sensation. And we don't celebrate one-shot deals. We celebrate people that's doing it consistently over 10 years on one level or another. You know what I'm saying? And they, even in this community, like a cat like Ludacris, oh, my God, I love that kid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I watch him grow from this guy to that guy to this guy to that guy, and now look at him. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we want to celebrate. So I'm bringing it back just for that. I'm bringing my Willie Award back next year just to celebrate my people. You know what I'm saying?
And we do deserve that, and we need that, because we need to see that more and more often, because our youth need to see that your hard work will be recognized, and by your peers, by the people who really know you and look at you and emulate you. So that's important. Yeah, bring it back.
Without a doubt. Another one of my 17 jobs. I need a team.
That's what's up. Then that's a beautiful thing. Peter, it's just been so great to have this opportunity to talk with you, to find out more about you, to learn more about the book that you're going to have on the shelves soon, and learn who you are, because of the fact that we only get to see a limited view of who Peter Thomas is. And basically everyone knows you as Cynthia Bailey's Cynthia Bailey Thomas's husband, and now we know that, now I really understand why she chose you, because you are a really wonderful person, and hey, you were blessed.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I would like to say, if you ever have the time, because I know your schedule is tight because you got all those jobs, please come back and share, you know, information about the different events that you might be putting on and stuff like that, because I would love the opportunity to share my information, share my mic and your information with my listeners.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Okay.
Yes, it was indeed a pleasure, and I want to thank Angela Ellaby of Double Exposure for this opportunity as well. He has been a great, great, great person to me. He's been very good to me, and I really appreciate him, and I appreciate this. And I'll be watching this show because I am a true fan, so I can't wait to see what's coming up. Do you want to share any tidbits of what's going to happen in the new season?
No, we can't do that at all. They get upset when we mess up their party.
You're going
to have to stay tuned, baby.
All right? Oh, man. But that's cool. I don't mind, because I enjoy the show, and I love giving the support, because it is a really good show. Like you said, it's the hottest show on Bravo, on the Bravo network, and you've all earned the accolades that you get, because you give good show. So thank you. Thank you, and thank you.
Thank you so much, honey. Have a good
okay,
night.
You too. Goodbye. Well, everyone, I would like to tell you that was Mr. Peter Thomas, and he took the opportunity to come and join us to discuss who he is, other than being on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. This was a wonderful time for me to get to know him more, and a great opportunity to learn more about his ventures, who he is, what he's done, and what he's planning on doing. And that's great, and he has an amazingly accomplished wife as well. She also, in her own right, has some fabulous accomplishments that are also going to be in the history books for a very long time as well. So they're doing it, and they're doing it right, and they're doing it together. They have their book, Carry On Baggage, Our Nonstop Flight. It will be on the bookshelves at the end of this month, July 2013, which is at the end of this month, so look out for it. And it's going to be discussing, you know, raising a blended family, running an empire, keeping the fires burning after 40, and all the other different things that you encounter when you're, you know, trying to just stay together. Well, that is Nate, and please join me on Wednesday. We're going to have a special edition of Real Estate Straight Talk with Sharon Homer, Joe Bilardo, and Mike Ferris, and they're going to be talking about the real estate industry and how you too can get involved, and what are the different options and opportunities that are available to you. So if you do have an interest in the real estate market and the real estate industry, we have two programs on the Coco Express Network that will allow you an opportunity to learn as much as you can before you get your feet wet. So join us on Wednesday, which they're normally on Saturdays, but they'll be on Wednesday. And then at the end of the month, the last Sunday in every month, we have Wealth Zone Radio, which will teach you how to do some other things in regards to planning your future financially. We also have our other shows that we air on a monthly basis. That's You, The Best Invention Ever with Valencia Lyle Saunders and Suzanne Russ, her co-host. Paradigm Shifters with Steve Duncanson and Marilyn Ocasio-Medina. We're also going to be launching a relationship segment, so please keep your ears out. We're going to be launching that in August, the second week of August, and it's going to be a monthly segment, and you're really going to love what we got in store for you guys. Oh, man, we've been really working hard to try to make sure that we can keep it going and keep it real. So I have to tell you that I had a wonderful time, and I always love coming to a sit down and bring to you new and interesting things. I believe Saturday we will have another show scheduled. We're working on the programming now. For those of you who are on my email list, I will send you out the details as soon as it's finalized. If you want to be on my email list, you can email me at CocoExpressShow@gmail.com. That's C-O-C-O-A-E-X-P-R-E-S-S show@gmail.com. Or you can just go online and Google the Coco Express Show, and we'll pop up, and you can go to the webpage, which we're updating. So just please bear with us as we try to revamp a lot of things we have going on, and go to the Contact Us page. That way you can send us your information, your comments, let us know what you think. You can also find us on Facebook. You can tweet us. We're on Twitter. So we're wherever you want us, wherever you want to find us, you can find us, and we want to know what you think and what you feel. And if you have any suggestions or comments about what we can do to make the show better, please feel free, because we are always welcome to hear and open to hear anything that you have to say, because our programming is kind of based on what we learn from you. So with that, on that note, I'm going to say have a wonderful evening, be safe, be well, and God bless.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.